Well, I've studied way more than I could ever try to get in within the next little bit with some other stuff that I'm working on. So I wanted to talk to you tonight for a little bit out of Luke chapter 19. And I still feel like God's wanting to do something in this room tonight. There is just an itch way down on the inside of me right now. I'm telling you, I feel like jumping on the inside. And it wasn't that strong cup of coffee I had at lunchtime either. I just feel like God's wanting to do something. I asked for a cup of coffee, Russell, at lunch. It was so strong I couldn't drink but one cup of it. I said, I don't want any more of that. Whoo! I don't know if you've ever done that or not in a restaurant, and they brought you some coffee and it was so strong it's like made your eyes bulge out. It's like, no, I don't want no more of that. Can't stand that. I'd be running around the room and it wouldn't be spiritual either. It'd just be jacked up on caffeine. All right, we talked about soul winning this morning, didn't we? I want to talk about that a little bit tonight in just a little bit of a different way. So I want you to turn, if you will, over to the Bible. And Jody, I'm a little bit loud in these speakers or the monitors a little bit. Don't want to scare nobody or blow nobody out back there on the back wall. Luke chapter number 19. I want to look in verse number 1, if you will. All of you know the story of Zacchaeus. I've heard his name pronounced a couple of different ways. I've heard it pronounced Zacchaeus. I've heard it named Zacchaeus. But for me tonight, it'll probably be Zacchaeus. We taught our children this song when they were little. How many of you have ever taught your children this song when they were young? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he, and he climbed up in an apple tree for the Lord, sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. We taught them that from children's church. So it's not that we're unfamiliar with this event that happened in Jesus' life. But I wanted us to somehow or another tonight grasp this. Even those watching online tonight, because there's a bunch of them on there, according to Brother Chris. We want to grasp this and understand that Jesus was a soul winner. I think Jesus would expect you and I to be a soul winner. And the Bible says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was just a little bitty feller. That's not what the King James says. You could have laughed right there. It wouldn't have hurt nothing. But it said because he was little of stature. Stature. Little guy. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. If that was in the mountains, you know what we'd say? Get on down out of that tree, boy, and let's go. I have to cut up with y'all a little bit every now and then. Sort of break the ice a little bit. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Hurry up. Come down. For today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, came down, received him joyfully. And when they saw it, and they murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. Shame on Jesus. He was caught in the house of a man that was a sinner. They didn't like Zacchaeus. He didn't have a good reputation. No doubt Zacchaeus had done a lot of things that he shouldn't have done, being a tax collector, chief among the publicans. So everybody that was in the town knew him, and they knew that he was out to do what was right in his own eyes to his own benefit. Why in the world would Jesus end up with a cat like him? Because that's the kind of cats that Jesus goes and looks for. Those that are lost. We'll get more into that in a little bit. I don't mean a literal cat, meow. I don't, you know, individual. My lingo needs to straighten up, don't it? It needs to. It says that he was gone to be the guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto him, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I will give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation. Come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. When you begin to look there at verse number 9, this is what it said. And Jesus said unto him, this day, salvation is come, salvation to his house. For so much he also is the son of Abraham. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me. Father, I do come tonight, Lord God, with a burden upon my heart. Lord God, not that I've never been to this pulpit. Not that I've never been to this place. But God, we cannot take this time for granted. We can't just skate our way through this service tonight. And Lord Jesus, and just go on about our business. But God, there might be a Zacchaeus in this room tonight. There might be somebody in this room that really needs to meet Jesus, that really needs to see Jesus. And Father, I pray, God, tonight that you, Lord God, right now would touch us. I pray, God, that you would allow the Holy Ghost of God to come upon us, Lord, that we would preach only that you want us to preach. And Lord, I thank you, God, and I give you praise and glory for all of that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. There's several things about this verses of Scripture that came to my mind when I began to read through this. I don't know, and maybe it may not be for everybody in the room, but it might be for one person in this room tonight. It might be that the Holy Spirit of God laid this particular message on my heart at this time to let somebody know that Jesus wants to see you saved. You say, well, preacher, look, this is your normal people. This is people that's here all the time. Why would you even preach a message like this? I have no idea. I would assume that everybody in this room is saved by assumption, which is a dangerous thing to do. But my prayer is that we can look at this scripture tonight and we can ingest it. That when we go out into the mission field that is in front of us, that we can talk to somebody about this man by the name of Zacchaeus. You see, everywhere we go is a mission field. And I'm going to meddle just a little bit again tonight. I apologize for meddling so much, but it's just the way it works. I talked to you this morning about something, and I sat at our lunch table today, and the Spirit of God got to dealing with me. He deals with me too. As we ate lunch today, I sat there at lunch and the Lord brought back the memory, Sandra, the words I said while I was preaching this morning. I was talking to you about mission trips and going to Peru and going to Costa Rica and whoopee, remember that? For those of you that was here. And then I concluded with that and saying, but we won't tell the people that we meet on the street, we won't tell people out there about Jesus. And I sat there today at lunchtime, and it's like the Spirit of God said, you said this morning while you were preaching. You wouldn't even tell people that you meet beyond the doors of the church. So this lady at our lunch table today, some of you know her name is Rose. So I said, Rose, let me tell you something. I said, I'm a pastor. Where are you a pastor at? I told her. I said, I've been on several mission trips, and we've went on foreign land to tell people about Jesus. And you say, and I said, the craziest thing happened today when I was preaching. I used this analogy, and I said, but we won't even tell a person that we have an encounter with through the week, wherever, about Jesus. I said, I just want to take this opportunity today to tell you about Jesus. And I told her some of what we talked about today. And fortunately, this particular lady is a Christian. And she told me about herself a little bit and how that she did have a relationship with Jesus. And then she says this, Sandra, I've been looking for a church. Maybe I'll just come by one day. Now, whether she does, I don't have no idea. But Brother Beckner, at least I told her. At least I didn't say something here and go out there and not do it. At least I tried to tell her about Jesus. I gave her one of our fancy little pens right there, and she really liked the pen a lot. But you know what? Every time she touches that pen, she's going to think about that conversation that I had with her at lunch today. When we begin to look at this particular ministry of Jesus, when Jesus was actually going into Jericho, for those of you know the walls of Jericho, and they come tumbling down. Joshua, go back and read that story. So it was the first place that the Israelites encountered when they came out of the wilderness. They went to Jericho. Another message for another time. When Jesus went to Jericho, he found this man by the name of Zacchaeus there, who was of a poor reputation. Let me say it like this. When I begin to read through just really some of the things, just kind of to get my mind wrapped around this whole thing about Zacchaeus, one of the first things, his name actually means pure one. But he was far from being pure. He was a man, no doubt in my mind, as I began to read this and read through this, that probably very few people really wanted to be around this man because the understanding, simply because this particular man was not a very likable man in the society of that particular day. The commentary basically said because he had swindled so many people out of their money for his own personal gain. No doubt in his own mind, he might not have felt comfortable being in God's presence. Maybe not being comfortable in the presence of Jesus. Maybe it was why Zacchaeus began to remove himself. But there's many things that I want to talk about through this particular, these particular verses of Scripture today, or tonight. One of the first things that I began to think about when Jesus was there was simply how that Jesus entered and he passed through Jericho, and this young man by the name of Zacchaeus was there. Verse number 3, he picks up and he says these words, and it says, and he sought to see Jesus. That is one of the first things I began to pick up on, was simply this. That somewhere in the bottom of his mind, in the bottom of his heart, in his life, that he had this desire to see Jesus, this desire to know this man that was coming his way. His name was Jesus. Now, as I begin to walk through here, I'm going to talk about several different things. And one of the first things that I begin to think about, again, is simply the simple fact that he had a desire to see Jesus. The question was, why did he want to see Jesus? Why do we want to see Jesus? Why do we come to church? Do we come to church maybe because of what Zacchaeus did? He was just nosy. He just wanted to go for the crowd. Maybe he didn't want to make a commitment. Maybe he was just wanting to see this man that everybody else had talked about. Maybe it was his curiosity. Because Jesus and because Zacchaeus was the man that Zacchaeus was, maybe in the back of Zacchaeus' mind, maybe in the back of his mind, maybe there was something there that he would want to see. If I can get close to Jesus, maybe it'll be more gain for me. Maybe there's something in this for me. Or maybe he wanted to know who Jesus was. When we begin to look at Zacchaeus' life, one of the first things that I began to put into my own heart was this. If we want to see Jesus, we've got to learn how to overcome those obstacles that are keeping us out of his presence. Now, you know the story. You know how that Zacchaeus, the Bible talks about him, and it talked about him being little and of little of stature, if you will. And no doubt in my mind, everywhere that Jesus went, there was crowd. Jesus, when we look at this, Zacchaeus, he had very many obstacles in his life that he had to overcome. When you begin to look at these obstacles again, we can see again where that Zacchaeus formulated this particular plan. And as he formulated this plan, the Bible lets us know that he did not allow those little things in his life to keep him from a big Jesus. Amen. He was little. He was different than everybody else around him. He had the obstacles that he had to overcome. No doubt he was short. We understand that. Those obstacles that he had. He was a tax collector. Everybody hated him, if you will. But the worst case scenario was that he made his living by doing anything that he could get away with that was dishonest for his own benefit. But yet when we look at Zacchaeus here, we can see that he began to do certain things that I want to talk about today. Verse 3, he says he sought to see Jesus. If the church is going to see salvation, if the church is going to see revival, if the church is going to see renewal, if you're going to see renewal in your own life, there's something going on the inside of us that we've got to desire to see Jesus. Amen. Don't misunderstand the preacher. I love church. I love singing. I love being here. I love you. I love the camaraderie. I love the fellowship. But my friend, we've got to get back to the place in the church that we're willing to say, I've got to see Jesus. In other words, when we come here, I want to see God show up in the midst of His people. Amen. I want, like I said earlier, I want to be your friend. I want to be your buddy. I want to be your pal. But more than that, my friend, put all of that aside. Oh, I want to see Jesus. He was able to overcome obstacles in His life. And we've got to be willing to do the same thing. Did he come because he was nosy or out of curiosity? Did he come because there might have been some selfish gain? But yet we can see that in this, we understand that Zacchaeus again was prepared for God's presence. What did he do? You can see this as you begin to look in the scripture in verse number 4 as we begin to walk through this. He made preparations for Jesus' presence. And the reason I said that, he heard that Jesus was coming. He overcome some of the obstacles that was in front of him. He climbed up in that sycamore tree. And then he prepared himself for His presence. In other words, when you begin to look at that, we can see that where the Bible said that he ran ahead, he prepared himself for the presence. In other words, when we think about that again, we can see that he knew that his opportune moment was right in front of him. That he had to be in God's presence. He had to be in Jesus' presence when Jesus' presence was passing by. So therefore, when I thought about that, I thought about where the Bible said that he all of a sudden ran. He ran before in verse number 4. And without any delay, no delay in his life, he knew his moment had come that Jesus was passing by. And he overcome those obstacles. And what did he do? He began to climb up that tree. He began to get motivated. He began to know that there was something that was getting ready to happen that would probably never happen again the same way. And he made every preparation to see Jesus when Jesus would pass by. Years ago, and maybe some of you remember this. Some of you might remember the song. I know I remember it. There was a lady preacher at the time. Sherry remembers this very well. Her name was Alice Davis. She's gone on to glory now. I had just got in the church. I'm reminiscing a lot about my childhood today, or my young adulthood, if you will. Excuse me. But I've reminisced a lot about that. And Alice Davis done a lot of preaching on Wednesday night at the time. Great, great woman of God, good friend and all of that. But one of the things, Brother Tim, I was a very young Christian. I had just gotten in church. I mean, my spirit man was on fire, and I was vibrant, and I was sensitive, if you will, to the things of God. And I wanted to know anything and everything about God that I possibly could learn. I was like a sponge. Sherry and I being accused of being sponges. We'd just soak up anything that we could soak up. But I remember Alice Davis coming down out of the pulpit. And she'd start singing this song. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your needs He'll supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Brother West, she'd sing that song. She'd walk down the aisle of that church. And my friend, it was almost like there was a tangible presence of God that if you could have just reached out, you could have got a hold of it. That's what I believe that Zacchaeus was getting ready to do. I believe that he knew this is my moment in time. Let me say something. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to quench the spirit. I'm not trying to throw cold water on anything. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Until we get that kind of expectancy back in the Thomasville Church of God, we're going to sit, soak, and sour. And my friend, we'll never see another move of God again in this church. But I promise you, if you'll get a hold of God, I'm looking in the camera tonight. If you'll get a hold of God, and if you'll pray, and if you'll fast, and if you'll seek God, and if you'll say Jesus is coming by and I cannot delay, there's an expectancy in the air. Oh, if He don't touch me tonight, I'm going to miss what God wants to do. I'm telling you, we need to be expecting what God can do in our lives when Jesus passes by. And Zacchaeus didn't delay. He went and he ran and he got up in the sycamore tree because the Lord, He wanted to see. I don't know how you feel in your spirit, man, tonight, but I know how I feel. I know how I feel. I feel like sometime that I'm in the middle of a desert. Are y'all awake? I feel like sometime I'm in the middle of a desert. And I'm saying, God, rain on me. God, I'm saying, God, just give me a drink of water. Lord, just touch me one more time. Can I tell you something? And I know I have to sort of preach off the cuff sometimes and listen to what God is saying. But I've got to say what God puts in my heart to say sometimes. And God, I believe, says that some of us are so dry and we've went without so long that we've gotten accustomed to being dry. And we got accustomed to being the way we are. And God said, if you get lazy and if you get stagnant and if you get status quo and if you get satisfied where you're at, you're not even going to miss my presence. My God, I feel Him in the room. How many of you know the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How long has it been since you drank from that living water? Another message for another time. How long has it been since Jesus came by and He just touched you and you knew it was the touch of God upon your life? I don't know about you, but my friend, I know what the touch of God is. I know, Brother Steve, when God comes by and you're sitting in the service and the wind of the Spirit comes by, I know what it is for God to come by and lay His hand on you. I know what it is to feel Him sitting in a pew. I've preached for so many years, I don't get to sit in the pew very much, but Brother Beckner, I remember when Pastor Dotson would be preaching and he would be preaching fire. I mean, Pastor Dotson preached and he's having surgery tomorrow. Y'all pray for him. But my friend, I'd feel the power of God and the glory of God. I mean, it would resonate in the pew because the anointing was so rich. But if you and I, if we have never experienced that, my friend, we don't know what we're missing. If we've never experienced Jesus passing by, we don't know what we're missing. But if Jesus has ever passed by your way, if Jesus has ever laid His hand on you, if you've ever felt the quickening of the Spirit, my friend, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm just saying this tonight. We've got to get back to the place in the church of God that we expect Jesus to pass by. Come on and give Him a praise in the house. You say, you're just preaching tonight, preacher. No, I'm giving you everything that's in my heart. And I'm saying, God, would you do it again? Would you touch Thomasville Church of God one more time? Oh, God, would you rain on us? Would you pour out your Spirit one more time on your church? Oh, God, let us not be ashamed. Shout. Let us not be ashamed to raise our hands. Let us not be ashamed to glorify your name and to praise your name one more time. I think that Zacchaeus climbed up in that tree to see Jesus. But I really don't think that Zacchaeus expected to receive what he was getting ready to receive. But yet he was so desperate, I believe, that he was really ready to do whatever it took for him to get from where he was to where he knew he needed to be. Desperate people do desperate things. And if you get to the point that you're sin sick, if you get to the point and to the place that you're sin sick, you're tired of living your life dry and barren. You're tired of living your life without God. You're tired of living a life of boredom when it comes to your spirituality. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You'll find yourself a place to get on your knees somewhere and you'll pray till you pray through until the glory comes down. The old time preachers used to say, get under the spout where the glory's coming out. Zacchaeus, when you look at his life, we can see that he heard that Jesus was passing by. When Jesus was passing by, we can see that Zacchaeus without delay went and he ran and he climbed up into the tree. In verse number 5, we can see what took place in verse number 5. And it says in verse number 5, and when Jesus came to the place, I don't know too much theological insight into that scripture right there at that particular point. But Jesus came to the place. Now here's what I got out of that. Jesus knew where Zacchaeus was at. He knew where he was at. I don't know how that resonated in you tonight, but I do know tonight by scripture that Jesus knew where Zacchaeus was at. Nowhere in that scripture does it say that Zacchaeus began to yell and cry out to Jesus and say, up here I am, up here I am, up here I am. See, the Bible says in Matthew 11 and 28, and you can put it up there. This is what it says. It says in Matthew 11 and 28, and he says this in the scripture. He says, to come unto me. There was an invitation given in the scripture. He said, if you begin to look at that, he says, come unto me. He says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I begin to look at that scripture and I begin to think about it where I can and begin to put this scripture right here is because when Jesus came to where Zacchaeus was at, that Zacchaeus again, this unexpected meeting, if you will, turns into an invitation. All we got to do is put ourselves where God can touch us. Sometimes we got to, excuse me for saying it like this, but sometimes we've got to shut everything else off and say, God, here I am. Our minds are like little mini computers, or actually a big computer. There are times in our lives where we've got to just turn everything off and say, God, here I am. As I sang that song, just as I am, I thought about that and this, all that tied together, and they didn't know what I was preaching. Just as I am, I come, O Lamb of God, I come. Now, I'm going to be gut-wrenching honest with you tonight. It would be improper and it would not be correct of me to think that everybody in this room is just happy as they can be and they don't have an absolute need of God for anything tonight. But I'm going to tell you the truth of the matter is everybody in this room needs something from God. And God cannot be equated to the great Santa Claus in the sky where we can flip him our wish list. But God is a spirit, the Bible says, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That God is looking for worshipers to worship him. And his presence comes when we worship. And when he comes, guess what? You don't get a little bit of him. He comes. God, you get all of him. God shows up. And when God shows up, you heard the old fella that said, when God shows up, God shows out. There's something going on the inside of you. Jesus came and he stopped underneath that sycamine tree, that sycamore tree. And the Bible says is when he began to do this, when the unexpected turns into an invitation, we can see that where again, Jesus told Zacchaeus, if you will, to make haste. In other words, his procrastination had to cease at that point. He had to make up a decision at that time. When Jesus calls, either I'm going to ignore that call or I'm going to do what he calls me to do. At this point, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus looked up and he told Zacchaeus, if you will, to come on down, if you will, make haste, come down. And then in this, we can see again what he was really saying to him was, Zacchaeus, make haste, hurry up, let's get moving. And keep moving. And in other words, he was saying, procrastination is over and today is your day. Aren't you glad that God knows where we're at? He knows what we need and he knows how to get it to us. Amen. He told Zacchaeus, come down. And the Bible said, when you look at that, he said, for today. I love that. He said, today. I mentioned it this morning. When you begin to look at that, the Bible said, for today is the day of salvation. James, the book of James, teaches us that we're not even supposed to put off until tomorrow what we can do today. I believe there's an urgency in the air today that we need to call out upon the name of the Lord. The Bible said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So today was Zacchaeus' day. It was his day. It was his opportunity. He could not delay. He had to make haste. Maybe not in this crowd tonight, but how many people have ever heard somebody say, well, I'll get saved when I get good and ready. Don't push me, preacher. I don't want to talk about it. Maybe someday. But for a lot of people, Sandra, the unfortunate thing is someday never came. And they died in their trespasses and in their sins. And that's the thing about soul winning. That's the thing about salvation. Again, there's a lot of study. There's a lot of other stuff I'm going to get into at some point. But salvation actually in the very fundamental, very, very elementary understanding of what salvation means, according to the Greek word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce that right now, but you can look into all of that in the Strong's Concordance, and you can look into all of the ology that goes along with that. But we can understand it means one simple thing, and it means to deliver. It means to set free. And that's what Jesus came to do. How many people do you know, and how many people that I know basically are procrastinating and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off? Zacchaeus is the great example of a man who did not wait. And he said, and he come down. And then Jesus said, when you begin to look at this, I love this because when he said this in the scripture, he called him. And he heard him call his name. And I thought about that. When the Holy Spirit whispers your name, do you respond to him? Zacchaeus understood that he was not going to miss this given opportunity to meet him. I thought about that as I was working through my notes and writing some stuff down. How many people has allowed, probably I would go and say, a million different excuses why they cannot come to Jesus? Why they cannot come to the Lord? I wonder about that. How many times has God wanted to do something in your life? But yet we oftentimes say, well, I'm too busy. I've got to do. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes busyness gets even in the preacher's way. Come on, somebody. And it says here, when Jesus came down here in the scripture, he teaches us that. He said, for today, I love this. He says, I must. To me, there was an urgency in the air. To me, there was something urgent. Even in the voice of Jesus. Why? Because this was that maybe. Don't say that in commentary. But Brother Tim, it might have been that one and only opportunity for Zacchaeus to ever make his heart right with God. You see, people say, I'll get my heart right with God when I'm good and ready. But no, the Bible says that his spirit will not always strive with man. I believe there is a golden opportunity for God to come by, knock upon your heart's door, and you're either going to say yes to him or you're going to reject him. At this time, God, Jesus Christ himself, told Zacchaeus, I'm going to, as you look at this, he said, I must. Today's the day. Opportunity is now. Don't miss the opportunity. And Jesus said, I'm going to abide in your house. Well, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. How many times has Jesus touched this old flesh, this old man of clay, this old woman of clay, if you will? We've all sinned and come short. I mentioned that this morning. And I want to go a little further on that and say, there's none righteous. The Bible said none, not one. I can't live good enough. And let me say this the best way I know how. I cannot live good enough to make Jesus love me anymore. Are y'all with me? So Zacchaeus was a sinner. The Bible said that. But Jesus went because Jesus knew that he was lost. What time is it? Oh my goodness. I thought it was about 15 to 7. Sorry about that. I knew it was past 15 to 7, but I didn't know what time it was. I hadn't even looked. So where'd I get to? If you look in Luke 15, again, I don't have time to go and preach that whole thing. That's why I looked. When you go back into Luke 15, and you begin to look at Luke 15, you can start in verse 1, you can write it down, you can go back there and read it later. It talks about those things that are lost. You might feel like tonight that you wasn't worthy to be saved. Why would God ever save anybody like me? Why would God ever call me out? Why would God ever do anything like this in my own life? One thing, and Jesus actually talks about it. We'll get into it in just a few minutes. But I'll say it like this before I move on and close in just a few minutes, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. The Bible says in John 3, not that we were condemned, that God came to condemn us. We were condemned already. We were all in our trespasses and our sins. We don't need to be told that we're a sinner. We've all been there. We all know that we have sinned and come short. The world needs to be told Jesus loves you. And you say, well, there you go again. It's love, love, love. I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's enough hate in our world today that where they need to hear that Jesus loves them. They need to hear that somebody loves them and somebody cares for them. Let me quit meddling and move back into this message for a moment. There's three things that happens in Luke chapter number 15. There's a lost sheep. There's a lost coin. And there's a lost son. We all know all of those stories. But the thing that I thought about more than anything is found in verse number 7. And it says there, and it talks about this, and it says this in verse 7. He says, and I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Now, I don't know how you feel tonight. I don't know, but Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was a sinner. He didn't ignore the fact that he had sinned and come short of the glory of God. He didn't ignore that. He knew all the wrong that Zacchaeus had done. He didn't have to be reminded of that. But Zacchaeus was willing to climb a tree and get out on the limb, if you will, in order for Jesus to see him. He was willing to take a risk and take a chance. And the Bible says that we begin to look at this, and again, in wrapping this up here in the latter part of this, the Bible says this, I say to you likewise, there is joy in heaven over one sinner. There's a man, I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, but I thought about it when I thought about this. Mitch, can't think of his name, last name right now. He pastors Man of War up in West Virginia. Mitchell Toll. Thank y'all. I knew you'd help me. He's the one that drew, he's an artist. He's the one that done these paintings in our bathrooms. He went to a church, Tim, that's getting ready to close down. I mean, it was in shambles. I mean, it was bad. Coal mining country, evidently. I mean, it was bad. I think it's Kentucky, ain't it? It was bad. He was not even a pastor. He's an artist. But God began to chip away and chip away and chip away. And he was in one of the meetings that we was in, and he had talked about that every service that he had been in, there had been somebody saved in that church for several years, almost every single church service. Now he's probably got 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. I don't know how many people they've got. I have no idea. It ain't about people. The people's about souls. You with me? Let me just be a little transparent for a minute. I don't normally say much about this. Some of our leadership, some of our staff, I've said a few things too. But we've watched God do something in this church over the last month, or a little over a month. You're seeing new faces show up just about every Sunday morning, and you're saying, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? It's people that God sent in this direction that knows that they need to hear what's being said. My transparency is this. A couple of weeks ago, I think one Sunday morning, we had like 188. Dr. Dean always gives me a report every Sunday morning. And this morning, again, it's not about the numbers, but it's about the people that we're reaching. This is your core group right here. This is the core group. We need to be praying that when these people come, that the Holy Spirit would work in this church and that people would start getting saved. Brother Toll, he would say, as we've seen people get saved, he said, we keep heaven dancing. He said, our goal in this church is to keep heaven dancing. By that he meant, because the Bible says that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know what makes heaven dance? Not that you're in church. I mean, that's plain. You're here. You're saved. You're sanctified. You're filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. I mean, hey, but really what makes heaven dance is when these babes come in this door, somebody that's on their way to hell, and we, the church, are praying. We, the church, are seeking God. We, the church, know Romans Road. We, the church, know how to lead somebody to Jesus properly and correctly, and to do that under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And I said all that to get back around this morning. Y'all ready for this? I'm believing God for well over 200. I'll just be honest with you. We had 192. When I came here, we had, what, about 260, 250, 260 on a pretty regular basis. And we've seen a lot of loved ones go to heaven. Brother Chris mentioned it Wednesday night when he was preaching about how many peoples in Davidson County, and collectively, if you put all the churches of God together, every single one of them, we're probably reaching less than 400 people collectively in all the churches in the whole entire county. 476,000 or something like that in the county. So there's space on your pew for somebody. Come on, somebody. So in all this, we can see that when you look at the latter part of this message, of where that when we look back into Luke, into our text, we can see here where that Zacchaeus was there. Let me turn back to my place. Jesus said, I'm going to your house. The people on the outside accused Jesus, the Holy Lamb of God. They could not understand why Jesus would be good to him. He was a sinner. You know, Christians are different than the world. You do know that, right? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by your love one to another. God's love is God doing on your behalf. That's grace, what you can't do for yourself. But unconditional love is God not giving you what you wanted, but God giving you what he knew you really needed, and that was forgiveness. When you look at this, we can see that where that Zacchaeus, he made his confession. You can look at where he made haste. He come down. He made his confession. Oh, wow, I've got something. I got to quit. I got 3 more pages. I don't need to get into that. We're here at 8 o'clock. Time change. I got to get people out of here. We know that Zacchaeus' life changed because in verse number 8, he said, if I've stolen anything, done anything I shouldn't have done, I'm going to restore it. I'm going to give it back. We in the Church of God, we believe in restitution where possible. If you get saved and you know you've done something wrong, if there's any way you can make it right, you need to go back and make it right. Jesus said in verse number 9, said unto him, this day salvation has come. Is that not awesome? Stand with me. He said there in verse number 9, he said that salvation has come. All of a sudden, when Jesus said that, the angels of heaven went to dancing. There was joy in heaven over a sinner that was saved. Hey, my friend, no sinner should have to come to this altar alone. No sinner should have to be able to come to this altar alone and feel like that they're by themselves, that nobody loves them and nobody cares for them. You don't need to come up here and start beating people on the back. Hang on, let loose, and you need to be respectful of other people that's never been in a Pentecostal church. That'll come in time, I'm sure. You need to honor people's privacy. There's nothing wrong. Come here, Brother Tim. Get him in the altar. I knew I'd get him in the altar one way or another. But if somebody comes to the altar, you know what I do? I normally whisper in their ear. You know that Jesus loves you, and we're here for you tonight. And how can I pray for you? What do you need from God? What do you need God to do for you? And they normally tell me. Then sometimes I slip in there. Have you ever really given your heart to God? Have you ever just given it all to God? This depends on what the Spirit of God leads me in. Sometimes they don't want to talk. Sometimes they don't want to say anything. And then you say, well, we just love you. We're praying with you that God would grant every need and that God would grant your supply. And you just pray for that person. Don't embarrass them. Don't shame them. Just love them. Lead them. Lead them to Jesus. He said there in verse number 9, he said, for today he's a son of Abraham. Jesus recognized that. Now this last verse is the icing on the cake. He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You were lost at one time, friend. Maybe it's a long, long, long time ago. Maybe you've been saved for 40 years, 50 years, 20 years, 30 years, a long, long time. You've heard me say this. I don't want to ever be saved so long that I forget about how it felt to be lost. And because the way I think about that is that if God just reminds me every now and then, Brother Jody, how lost I was, I'll be more grateful for what he's done for me. But my friend, all of us in our lives were lost at one time. And because he lives, I shall live also. Father, we love you tonight and we thank you. We thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you, God, for your mercy. We thank you, God, for your touch. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, God, that you sought Zacchaeus out. And I believe, God, tonight that you're seeking us out. And I believe tonight that, God, that you have a desire for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. And I believe, God, if this church, one more time, we begin to pray for our families and begin to pray for those that are in sin and those that need to be born again. And if, God, if we'll nurture them, if we'll disciple them, and if we'll show them the way of salvation by our examples, that God, that you'll begin to send people our way to love and to honor and to lead to so great a salvation. Now, Father, I pray your blessings upon us as we go throughout this week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and all the people of God said, amen. God bless you.